And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The Great Chase heats up as the fantasy hockey playoffs continue. Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 24, Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, Nick. Ovi inches closer and closer to that goal record. We inch closer and closer to the end of the fantasy season as well. Fantasy finals, I think, for a lot of people this week, depending on your league structure. So we got Petey with the waiver wire coming up. We got Meany with On the Money. This episode, as always, is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
I kid you not, I was debating doing a tribute podcast today to the likes of Pius Suter, Mark Jankowski, Zach Bolduc. Anybody else you'd like to throw into that conversation that won you a fantasy week?
I think Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall probably needs to be thrown in there, right? That Sunday performance a week ago where I think a lot of people probably scooped him up, maybe won the week, and probably hung on to him, and he kept producing, and he continues to produce. So I think he's got to be in that conversation. It's funny, Nick. We do this every year. We rank players. We look at all these guys, different situations coming into the year, and then your fantasy semis, your fantasy finals usually ends up getting decided by the crop of players we just mentioned. It's crazy stuff.
You're in my 16-team league. Of course, I won the first seed, but I could only wonder what my opponent thinks when they play me in the fantasy playoffs and the level I'll get to win a fantasy championship. Because, yeah, that's the theme this year. It's not really the big boys who are getting the job done here.
You got to dig deep too, Nick. I saw a lot of this happening over the course of the weekend. I'm sure a lot of our listeners went through this as well, where you're down in your matchup on a Saturday or Sunday, and sometimes you have to make that difficult decision and drop a legitimately good player, right, to free up a roster spot for a streamer. Now you run the risk of, okay, well, I advance and I don't have that player anymore, or he's on the waiver wire. So that's a tricky game to play this time of the year, but what else are you hanging on for at this point?
Good point. At this point, Alex Ovechkin can sniff Wayne Gretzky. Probably smells like roses, but needs 5 goals in the final 9 games. The Great Chase is on here, Jakey.
The Great Chase is on. We got to rip Wayne off the golf course, I guess, at some point, right? If he's going to be a part of this tour following around Ovechkin, I know there was speculation. I think once he gets within 5, that Bettman and Gretzky and everybody, I think Nick Backstrom was going to be involved as well. Some of Ovi's former teammates, which obviously makes a lot of sense. Personally, Nick, if I'm Wayne, I'm saying call me when he's within 2. Like, I got golf to play. I got things to do. I'm not following this guy around for like 2 weeks as he tries to track this thing down, but maybe he wants to fast track it. I don't know do you think the pressure is going to maybe get to him a little bit once this caravan of people start following Ovi? Always seems like a guy that handles pressure quite well, but do you think maybe we get to a situation where he could get a little bit cold and starting to feel that pressure a little bit?
I think so. And you look at the list of opponents remaining in this season, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I don't know about you, if it came down to the wire. I know a lot of people like to play this narrative in their heads that maybe it happens the final game of the season at Pittsburgh. I think that would be so amazing. But you got 2 games coming up against Columbus. You have the Islanders a couple of times. Is there a game that you're pinpointing where this actually happens? I'd love the Pitt one, but yeah, for me, my money would be on one of those 2 Columbus games.
I think one of those 2 Columbus games makes a lot of sense. Maybe the Islanders game after that. Like, I could see him maybe getting fat against Columbus. Let's say he gets 3 in those 2 games, and maybe has a couple, or maybe has 1 before that. I mean, I guess if he had 3 in those 2 games, he's probably at least tying it. So I could see him maybe tying it against Columbus, Nick, and then ultimately breaking it. I've said now for a few weeks, it really feels like the pace that he's on, because it's not an electric pace where he's scoring every game. It's also not a slow pace. He's kind of just going about it in an average way right now, scoring every other game, that it really feels like it's going to come down to the last couple games of the season, and they won't be able to get Ovi that rest maybe they would like to get. So look, if he can break it in one of those Columbus games, that affords them the chance to maybe buy him a little bit of rest those last couple of games. My prediction is going to be he breaks it against the Islanders, second last game. That's
okay.
My prediction.
The real question is, how many of the 5 remaining are empty netters, Jake?
He hasn't really been racking up the empty netters lately, right? He's kind of been legitimately scoring them. He had that great goal against Winnipeg last week to tie the game against a good team and a great goaltender. So they have been very legitimate lately. So Look, I'm happy with him getting a couple empty netters just to push this thing forward. I'd like to see him not tie or break the record on an empty netter. I think we would all like to see it in the, you know, the OV1T on the power play or however he wants to get it done. So I'm fine with the next couple being empty netters, Nick. I want to see this thing done. I don't really want it to bleed into next year. I know it could be a fun storyline at the start of next season, but I'd like to see him break it in classic OV fashion late in this season and then ride into the playoffs with that narrative.
From his office, too, and we're at a point in this great chase where we're celebrating goals against the Buffalo Sabres and blowout losses against the Buffalo Sabres.
Hey, so Buffalo's that's just a magnet.
Yeah, of course they're hot. It's yeah. April and March. That's what the Buffalo Sabres do. So certainly tracking the great chase. Five goals away is Alex Ovechkin from Wayne Gretzky. Leon Draisaitl's back in the mix. He only missed four games, which leads me to believe, I think, the Hart Trophy's in mind here, right?
I want to get into this with you and Chris when we do the On the Money segment, and a weekly update, I think, at this time of the year is in store for the Hart Trophy race, and you yeah. and I threw this around as well, and we saw a big swing in the odds in favor of Connor Hellebuyck. I think there was a lot of worry that Draisaitl's injury would be long-term and maybe bleed late into the season. Then we get some good news. He's skating. I know you were sharp enough to jump on a pretty good Draisaitl number, so curious Meany's take on that, because Hellebuyck continues to play well. It's not like Hellebuyck has gone away. He's still doing his thing. He's winning games, picking up shutouts. So nothing wrong with what Hellebuyck is doing. But man, Leon is a beast, Nick. I watched that Battle of Alberta on Saturday. Edmonton looks down and out, and Leon goes full backpack mode, puts the whole team on his back, and wins the game. It's to me, he is my Hart Trophy winner.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with Hellebuyck too, but I think it actually helps Draisaitl right now because Connor McDavid's not playing, and the more he continues yeah. to do this, I think voters can't look past that. He comes back, gets 2-1. It's always going to be a meaningful game regardless of the standings when it comes to Edmonton and Calgary. So I honestly think it helps him, again, without McDavid in the lineup. Just to feed off what Draisaitl is doing, 104 points on the season, 51 goals. But he played mostly with Podkolzin and Arvidsson on Saturday. And the yeah. one guy I would look at specifically moving forward is Victor Arvidsson, who's had a turbulent first season with Edmonton. But I wonder if he has a strong finish. He's on PP1 as well, Jake.
I've always been an Arvidsson guy. It's been a little disappointing, to say the least, in Edmonton this year, Nick. But with that line assignment, I love his shot volume as well. He's a guy I'd look to in the shot prop market. Obviously, fantasy playoffs as well, if you can maybe scoop him up, if he's going to continue to play with Leon Draisaitl. And just on the Hart Trophy conversation here too, Nick, I feel like, and you can relate this to other sports and MVP conversations, you need those wow moments, those pinnacle moments where everybody in the hockey world kind of comes together and goes, okay, wow, that was special. I think what Leon did on Saturday, I know it's just a regular season game against the Flames, but it's on hockey night. It's Saturday. It's the Battle of Alberta. To do it like that, and you know the highlights start to make their rounds on social media, those are the kind of wow moments that I think you need and I think resonate with voters when it comes time to put pencil to paper. Or I guess they probably don't vote with pencil and paper anymore, Nick. That's probably a little... I hope not. Yeah, a little outdated. But you know what I'm getting at, right? Those wow moments. I think Leon had that on Saturday, and I was certainly wowed by it.
I was too, and meantime, I think we need official statement from Pete Jensen regarding the Frozen Four. So, Pete, I'll give you the floor here, buddy.
Yeah, man. Penn State's going to its first Frozen Four. I think they got a couple of guys, if they do bow out the next round against Boston University, that could sign with NHL teams. Really impressive game the other day. They probably should have lost it. But the goalie, Sergeyev, actually property of the Calgary Flames. So that's going to be a cool thing. No matter who leaves Calgary, guys, right? You got Dustin Wolf and Arseny Sergeyev for many
Ooh,
years to come.
Okay, Pete. Okay. Boston College eliminated, Pete, as you know. And Ryan Leonard watches on, Jake. The Washington Capitals, as if they needed another boost during this great chase. And they're one of the best teams, if not the best team in hockey. They're going to maybe get the best NCAA guy right now in Ryan Leonard, right?
Well, and this has become a fun little side story to this part of the NHL oh, yeah. season. Now this tradition, and as college hockey continues to grow, right, and we're seeing more and more talent in college hockey, we're getting legitimate players at this end of the season that could really help out teams, contending teams too. We're talking about Leonard with the Washington Capitals. I think he's the one I'm most excited for, Nick, because obviously just of the talent of the player, where the Capitals are at and them being a legitimate contender this year, and also where do you slot him in that lineup right now? And when you're cooking the way the Capitals have been for the most part this year, you don't want to throw things off too much. So I'm very curious how they implement him, and that goes for a few other players that potentially could come over.
Very easy. Leonard, Dubois, Wilson, you move McMichael to line three. I've already mapped this out, Jake.
Oh, I spent okay. Coach Alberga has the napkin out, ready to go.
I spent a good chunk of Sunday night trying to figure out where they're going to deploy Leonard. But, you know, firstly, Pete's got to make a call to somebody over at Yahoo. Let's get these NCAA players in there, because I'm looking at my wire. I'm looking for Sam Renzel of Chicago, and he's not there. So hopefully Ryan Leonard shows up at some point in time here, guys. But I would throw him into the fire. Jacob Perreault could sign here with the New York Rangers. Jacob Fowler with the Montreal Canadiens, although I don't know if they're going to throw him in there in the thick of a playoff race right now. And another guy I would monitor, Jake, is Jimmy Snuggerud with St. Louis. I don't know how you're going to get into that lineup. They've won 9 straight games. He's a really good player as well.
Well, this is why you win so many leagues, Nick. You're doing that. You're already like a week ahead of everybody looking for these players that haven't even come over. So, hey, that's what goes into winning these things. And I'm excited to see a potential of Snuggerud. I already mentioned how much I like Ryan Leonard. And I like those line combos that you threw out well. You don't want to mess with the chemistry too much, but McMichael's a guy that's been bumped a few times. He's kind of been up and down the lineup, and he's been productive basically wherever you put him. So I don't think he's a guy that moving him down would throw things off too much in Washington, and you want to give a talented offensive player like Ryan Leonard a legitimate chance to create offense. You don't want to throw him on the fourth line or anything like that. You want to put him with some legit players.
Tell you what, after we're done recording today, I'm gonna text Spencer Carberry and pass along my notes for what he should do with his top six there. But nevertheless, this great chase is a lot of fun to monitor, but more so the Washington Capitals. That's a sidebar story. They're a really good team, have an awesome shot of going very, very far in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs, and Ryan Leonard, yeah, we think is going to sign with this team over the next couple days. So, Jake, let's set this up. March 31st to April 6th, we've got 52 games in total. 4 on Monday, 10 Tuesday, 5 Wednesday, 9 on Thursday, 3 Friday, 13 Saturday, 8 on Sunday. The 4-game teams you want to look at for schedule manipulation purposes: Boston, Calgary, Colorado, Columbus, Dallas, Florida, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, Ottawa, Vegas, Washington. That's 12 teams in total. The 4-game teams that you want to stay away from: New Jersey, the Rangers, Philadelphia, and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Colorado has a great schedule, and they look deep right now. Nick, I think that's the team I'm going to be looking at. Now, we know the top boys are all spoken for there, but I think you could get some nice complimentary pieces looking at some line combinations in Colorado. Heck, even the third line has been half decent for them, right? I think I referenced them a month or two ago as a one-line hockey team, and then obviously what they've done at the deadline, getting Valnichushkin back as well, to me has made Colorado at least a legitimate three-line team. And I think that's a team with a nice 4-game week, a good schedule, I'd be targeting this week.
They're what you call a wagon, the Colorado Avalanche, and I'm looking forward to seeing that team in the Stanley Cup playoffs as we once again bring in Pete Jensen for a look at the Week 24 waiver wire. I love Matvei Michkov on this list. Pete, surprise, surprise, Tort's gone. This guy's on fire. I'm playing again tonight against, I believe, Nashville for an anytime goal.
Right, and the play has to be, I think, with only 2 games this week, unless it's a keeper league, you keep Michkov for Monday, and then you probably drop him in a 1-year league. I mean, it's been an amazing run for him after Torts was fired. Overall, a very strong season in his first cup of coffee in the NHL, and a guy that I think you could compare his ceiling moving forward to anyone other than Bedard, Celebrini, among the 25 and under players across the league. That means even as good as a Holloway has been, you can compare his ceiling to Michkov moving forward. Any of the other young guns, Boldy, anybody like that who's had a tremendous season, Michkov's coming for you, especially in fantasy.
Pete, things are not going well for the Boston Bruins right now. It's a tough watch at this point of the year, but I do love that doom and gloom angle as well, right? Bad team. Okay, who cares if they win? There's still some guys that are going to pick up some points and help me out fantasy-wise. One of those guys right now is Morgan Geekie. I've loved him in the prop market here recently, and he's got a nice week coming up, right?
Yeah, he's been really productive, plays a lot with David Pastrnak through thick and thin. Boston, by the way, the Sabres are going to pass them maybe the next game. That's how far they've fallen in the standings. You know, Sabres are not in contention at all, about 9 points out, but that just shows how far Boston has fallen. Of course, Marchand debuting and scoring, the assist on the overtime winner by his linemate Sam Bennett. Looks like a really good fit in Florida, and now Boston's sitting back and watching. They're going to be playing golf pretty soon, unfortunately. But Morgan Geekie can help you win a fantasy championship. He's been that valuable over the past month or so.
No doubt about it. You talk about value this week. I think I'm going to be very, very invested in the Columbus Blue Jackets. And on your list this week, among others, is Boone Jenner, the captain, who has been really, really good, unsurprisingly, since returning, right?
Yeah, and even that stretch where he wasn't scoring goals and the assists died down a little bit, he gets you the hits, he gets you shots on goal. Any given game is a category cog and near the top of the list of those guys that cover categories for you this time of year. Another guy that didn't make the list because we got Casey DeSmith on there because he's been so hot for the Dallas Stars as the backup to Ottinger, but Mason Marchman is another guy that always checks all the boxes this time of year, and that's what you want to. You don't want to go down with a goose egg right in the points column. You want to stay afloat with some of those other peripheral categories. That's the name of the game this time of year.
I'm a little shocked at the Boone Jenner ownership percentage because It feels like everybody just kind of forgot about him while he was hurt, but he's been very legit in fantasy the last couple of years, Pete. Another guy that's all of a sudden legit and pops up on your list, maybe we thought he was a flash in the pan a week or two ago, but Taylor Hall, you think he's got some staying power in that Hurricanes lineup?
Yeah, it wasn't the Mikko Rantanen trade. It was the Taylor Hall trade for the Carolina Hurricanes, right? He is tied with Sebastian Aho for Carolina's point league in the month of March. So he's been that good lately, has been tremendous, and he's playing on a second line. Interesting wrinkle, they shifted Jack Roslovic to center. I like that as their 2C, better than Kokaniemi or anybody else on that roster, Jordan Staal. You know, of course, I think it's a good wrinkle for them to try to get into the playoffs and be able to compete with a team like Washington. Because as good as Washington has been, you could still step back and look at and say, you know, if a Taylor Hall is scoring goals for the Carolina Hurricanes, that might be enough to get them to the conference final. And if every other division in the league is beating up on each other, that could be all it takes.
Definitely, and this is not really a hot take, but I do think Carolina and Washington are on a collision course to meet up in round two, and I think that would be a juggernaut of a series for sure. love Leo Carlson on this week's list. He's been getting better and better ever since the Four Nations, it seems. I know he played one game there for Sweden. He's looked really, really good to finish off this season.
We talk about the futures outlook of so many of these teams long-term, 2-3 years down the line. The St. Louis Blues, of course, have shown us all that they have a high ceiling now and moving forward in terms of their young talent, but there might not be another team other than the St. Louis Blues that I'm more excited about in terms of their future than the Anaheim Ducks. You could say, which player on the Anaheim Ducks, guys, are you most excited about long term? And you could have five different answers. You could say Cutter Gauthier is getting going with 13 points in his past 15 games. The former number two pick Leo Carlson has been amazing the past couple of months of the season. Jackson Lacombe, maybe the breakout defenseman of the season. Lucas Dostal, goalie of the future. I didn't even mention Mason McTavish, who is probably going to win a couple of people fantasy championships by the end of the week. So I just feel like it's really promising for a franchise that has been missing the playoffs in recent memory and hasn't had much to cheer about, to be honest.
It's really hard to not get excited about the potential of what they could be going into next year, Pete. So hopefully they're not just roping us in and then we watch next year and it's more of the same, but there is some exciting young talent there. And fantasy-wise, I think they're going to be a fun team to follow going into next year. We need some goaltending help here, Pete. What, any goalies we should be looking out for? Some backups maybe we could scoop off the waiver wire in what could be fantasy finals week for a lot of people?
Yeah, so, I mean, it doesn't matter what the guy's name is, right? If he's getting you a quality start and a spot start. Casey DeSmith, Dallas Stars, I mentioned him earlier, had a 46-save victory the other day. I mean, he's 7-0-1 in his last 8 games. Dallas is, we know they're the strongest team in the league, and Ottinger's getting going. He's our fantasy goalie of the week this past week. But, I mean, you wouldn't want to go to bat with any other team in the league, probably, especially against a favorable opponent. And Casey DeSmith's high danger save percentage and mid-range save percentage rank very highly so far this season at large. And then James Reimer, like, coming out of nowhere. I don't really like the way that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is playing down the stretch. These guys are getting a ton of goal support right now. We didn't even mention a guy like Jack Quinn, and he's had back-to-back 3-point games and a 4-game point streak. You know, Buffalo's scoring from a lot of different ways in this garbage time, and it's starting to benefit a guy like James Reimer, who's had a couple of clutch victories during the fantasy playoffs, only 4% rostered in fantasy right now.
You know, it's the month of April, late March, when the Buffalo Sabres heat up and just torment the rest of the NHL and make Pete Jensen really, really happy. Excellent stuff. NHL.com/fantasy. Week 24 waiver wire edition. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Chris Meaney joins the show now. What's going on? And obviously the Hart Trophy conversation, a big topic of focus on today's podcast.
Yeah, it should be fun over the next couple of weeks. I mean, my vote hasn't changed. It would be Connor Hellebuyck. And I know Leon Draisaitl came back and you guys talked about him scoring a couple big goals, the game-tying goal, the game-winning goal. He's had a phenomenal season, but Hellebuyck is a slight favorite. We've seen some movement, especially with what Nikita Kucherov is doing lately. And, you know, if Kucherov led the league in points last year, he's not going to get it this year. He didn't win last year. Unfortunately, he probably won't win this year. But for me, it is Hellebuyck, right? 43 wins, 43-10-3. He leads the NHL in wins, in save percentage 925, a 2.01 goals against average. He's first in shutouts with 7. You look at some of the edge stats, 41 games with a save percentage greater than 9, and the 73% of his games, right, greater than 9. It's what he's doing to me, guys, it's unbelievable. And it's been a long time, Jake, since we've seen a goalie win this award, right? We talked about it last week with Carey Price. So you'd get my vote, but my goodness, it should be a really fun race. And if Leon Draisaitl scores, I don't know, 7 goals, I guess, flirts with 60, then maybe we'll have to have another conversation about it next week.
The odd shift has been very reactionary over the last week or so, guys, right? We get a huge swing in favor of Connor Hellebuyck when we get the Leon Draisaitl news to, I think as high as I saw him get was maybe minus 200, something in that range. Leon comes back, has a huge game, you know, heroic performance, you could call it, on Saturday. And now it's basically even between the two guys. Connor Hellebuyck, even money right now. Leon Draisaitl plus 120. So take your pick. It's going to be a fun race. I'm glad we have a battle down the stretch here. Means one word that I think is probably at the biggest swing though in the last week or so is actually the Calder Trophy, the Rookie of the Year. Lane Hudson now a significant favorite to win that award. Do you think that's justified, Meaney? I think for a while we all just assumed it was probably going to go to Celebrini, even though you could make a strong case for Hudson and Wolf. But now all of a sudden Hudson up to minus 330 on Bet365.
Yeah, this is certainly a word we've been following over the past couple weeks, and I've been in the Lane Hudson camp. You know, it's just what he's doing again, you know, for a defenseman, right? Leading all rookies in ice time. And you could see it last night, right? A must-win game in Florida, a team that dominates everybody on home ice. And Lane Hudson was involved in all 3 goals, right? The game-winning goal, he finds the puck in the offensive zone in the corner, a quick one-touch pass over to Nick Suzuki. It's in the back of the net. And now all of a sudden he has 54 assists, and he's doing things that we haven't seen since the early 90s, guys. And he's 6 back of Larry Murphy for the, 60 points, I believe he had. So he's doing things again that we haven't seen in our lifetime, Nick, right? So it's pretty remarkable. And yeah, he's a massive favorite for a reason.
Yeah, you can't look past Hudson at this point. And now it looks like Wolf's not going to make the playoffs with the Calgary Flames. I mentioned earlier on a play I do like on Monday, Matvei Michkov means, and you put this out there and credit to you, where you almost called the Michkov hat trick, and it almost happened after Torts got canned, but he hits the post. He's certainly a guy, rest of season purposes, I'm going to be playing a lot of Michkov props, are you?
Yeah, he had 2 goals in that game, and there was one taken away from him, so he could have had 4, and I know a few people were following our work over at NHLFantasy.com. They had the hat trick, so they just missed out, but hey, why not again? Like, 80-1 over at Bet365 to have 3 goals tonight against the Nashville Predators. He's got back-to-back games with 2 goals. He has 11 shots over that span. He has 9 points over a current 5-game point streak, so he's been plus money over this run as well for 3-plus shots, which he's had in 4 or 5, and take a look at his line mate, Sean Couturier. You guys were talking about guys who have gotten you to the next level here in championship week. Couturier is actually one of those guys for me. I know he's a beast in the faceoff circle, but he has 3 goals and 8 points over his past 6 games. He's playing with Travis Konechny, so that's a trio that is Philly's best, certainly at the moment. They're loading up on their top line, and Konechny's got 6 points in his past 5. So you could take the trio tonight over at Bet365, all of them to have a point. That's plus 230, Jake, and there's a 30% profit boost over at Bet365. And if you just want to take the single on Couturier at minus 120 for a point, I think it's pretty good value there.
Meany, talk me out of sprinkling a little money on the LA Kings at 22-1 to win the Stanley Cup over at Bet365. Is it as simple as they just don't beat the Edmonton Oilers and they're probably going to have to face them again? I like the fact that they've got that inside track to home ice advantage where they've been, despite a loss to the Maple Leafs in regulation on home ice on Saturday, they've been completely dominant there all year. And I just think this Kings team is different than the one that we saw last year.
Yeah, I think they are too. And, you know, for Quinton Byfield, I think he's the key for me. And I know he started off very, very slow last year. He was up on that top line with Kempe and Kopitar, but he's a natural center. And it took a little bit to get going at his position, but he has been, it's night and day, the first half and the second half with him. Heard you guys on Thursday's episode as well, Nick talking about Kuzmenko. He picked up a couple points last night. So the top six is solid. And Philip Deneau is still, you know, a really good shutdown center. And you having him on your third line with, you know, Fogle, he's got, 20-plus goals. There's a lot of offense, actually, on this team. And I think, Nick, the biggest difference to me in years past is what Jake said. If they're going to get the Oilers again, they may just get them at home. And they have been dominant on home ice. So that could be the difference. And I know McDavid and Draisaitl are two guys that can just overtake a series. But at that number that Jake discussed, Nick, that's a pretty strong number. I still love where the Colorado Avalanche are at. And I think whoever wins that series between the Stars and the Avs are the team that is going to go the distance. But that's a really good number for an LA team that's been dominant on home ice.
I have moved on from all these teams, and I'm on St. Louis plus 10,000. I got them last week to win the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
It's not going to happen. But yeah, no, to your point about LA, I like them this year. The goaltending solidified. I think the big story for me in that series is going to be the power play, because Edmonton just does so much work on the power play. Can LA respond? Can they get a couple power play goals themselves? Definitely will be tracking that. A couple other things I'm looking at the next couple days. Florida at Montreal on Tuesday. I think we're going to see a bit of a response here from the Panthers. They're going to take the Panthers three-way in that game. They got a big one with the Maple Leafs coming up on Wednesday as well. And Buffalo at Ottawa, you know what that means. I don't think we're going to see Josh Norris's return to Ottawa just yet. We won't get that video tribute. But I like the Dylan Cousins ATG in that game. Anything else you'd like to add, Means?
Yeah, I mean, that line has been amazing. Some pretty good value on David Perron as well and Drake Batherson. Mm-hmm. So I know Ottawa shuffled their lines up, but they've kept those three together. For tonight, I mean, the Dallas Stars again, like Robertson and Hintz and Mikko Rantanen, you know, we're all laughing about Mikko, but all of a sudden he's got 7 points now over a 4-game point streak. Robertson has 7 points over a 3-game point streak, and Hintz has 9 points over a 4-game point streak. So if you've just been taking that trio to hit the score sheet tonight, plus 165, they're all plus money for an apple. You could take them for 2 points and get that up to 3-1. They won over the weekend in Seattle. They're playing in Seattle again, so I'm sure they had some fun. Maybe they checked out the Space Needle, hit the market. They're feeling pretty loose right now. They're winning a lot of hockey games lately. So I take a look at them tonight. And I really like that duo of Natchez and Brock Nelson. I love what Colorado has done. I just feel like with Nichushkin, with Nathan MacKinnon, and Natchez with Brock Nelson, this is just two very, very dominant lines. So take a look at them against the Flames. And then you guys talked about the Bruins. Right, I think Ovechkin's going to get this done this week. He's got a matchup against Boston tomorrow. They've lost 8 straight. They've been outscored 38-14 over this run. They are completely checked out. You know, Jake, what'd you say, Nick? Like, or what'd you say about Wayne? You know, maybe give him a call when he's 2 goals away. Get him a call now. Like, call him up immediately. Because he could score 3 or 4 tomorrow, and he can get this thing done by the end of the week. And then one other guy is Boone Jenner. You guys talked about him as well. He was plus 195 for 3 shots the other night. He's had 3-plus shots in 4 straight and 5 of 6. The captain is trying to make a push here into the playoffs.
Let's at least let Wayne clean up his par on 18, and then yes. he can enjoy, because I know he loves his golf. So better give him a call here quickly, because Meany, like you said, Boston is completely checked out. I've watched a couple of their games recently, and there's just nothing there. I know we talked Morgan Geeky with Pete a little bit earlier, so there's something in the prop market, fantasy market, but that's pretty much where it ends with Boston. I'm looking at Bet365 has a great to make the playoffs market, guys, which I think could be a fun thing to dip into if you're interested over the next couple of weeks. Montreal plus 160 to make it right now. The New York Rangers plus 210. And Philly Constantino's New York Islanders way down there at plus 750. So if you think the cockroaches still got a chance to get it done in the Islanders, then maybe plus 750 is for you. But I still just have a weird feeling that it might be the Rangers, Nick. as bad as they look some nights. Yeah, I get why Montreal is the favorite. Big win against Florida on Sunday. Very impressive to go in there and win that game. But something just tells me the Rangers are going to back their way into a playoff spot, and we'll get the Rangers and Capitals in the first round.
That would be so cruel, because you talk about teams that deserve to be there. I think Montreal deserves to be there. The Rangers do not, okay? They've had so many opportunities, and they just throw it away. I don't know what that was against Anaheim. Granted, I had Shesterkin in fantasy hockey. I'm like, just get the win and move on to the next place. And they look dysfunctional. I think Laviolette's job's on the line. I think some guys are going to be moving out of that roster very, very soon. But on deserving to be there, I would prefer Montreal over the Rangers, but you're right. It's tough to discount a team that went to a conference final last season. Means excellent job. Breaking news coming in from Bet365. We have a nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. The final word, as per usual, to Pete Jensen. Go ahead, my friend.
So I like Nichushkin going off what Meany was saying for a goal. You could still get him at plus 180 tonight against a favorable opponent. And the Avs, I know Meany's been talking up how good their record is with Nichushkin, 26-10 this season when he plays. That's ridiculous. They're one of the best teams out there when he's in the lineup. You could still get in on Penn State at plus 400 to win the national championship. If they win that next game against BU, I think they could do it. So, you know, there's a lot of skill out there. Serato, ridiculous, right? Faked the guy out of his shoes, behind the back pass into the bedlam there in Allentown. So just a fun ride to get on, and I feel like you could still jump on if you want to. And also, Nick, that line that you mentioned, the plus 10,000, whatever it was, ridiculous
number.
It was
a lot. Yeah.
It's down to plus 4,500 for the Blues to win the cup at Bet365, so you can also still get in on that juicy number.
Love that. Lots of value in this league. And, Jake, we look forward to Thursday's edition of the podcast, the mailbag edition for week 24. I wonder what some questions are going to look like, maybe around college hockey.
Well, I hope most of the listeners out there are still involved in the fantasy playoffs. If you are, you're likely in your final, maybe your semifinal, depending on league structure. I like Petey pumping Penn State, and I love college hockey, the atmosphere, the vibe, so much fun. So I'm glad it's kind of taken off to where it is right now. Another thing to look out for this week, Nick, I was looking at the Atlantic Division odds. We know how tight that race is. The Leafs have become the favorite from what happened this weekend, plus 105. Tampa and Florida both hovering around plus 220. In that range. Wednesday night, massive game. Two more meetings between the Leafs and the Panthers to maybe flip that thing either way, so we can maybe discuss that post the Wednesday game on the Thursday show.
All right, Jake, we'll see what happens. Also, don't forget to go check out the latest episodes of NHL Unscripted and Energy Line again coming up on Thursday, week 24, mailbag edition. Thanks to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.